Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
They cannot radiate that light of Christ in them. Distortions of their soul. The period between when you were, that is the period where carnality, you know, had a way of habituating your soul. So the period when you were born and the period when you got born again. Some of us, it took us 10 years, 12 years, 20 years, 30 years. Now imagine the things that you have had to go through in 30 years and how they have formed your own belief system and the time up until when you meet Christ. All right. So the life we lived before we found Christ, okay, the life we lived before we found Christ forms a major part of why that glass, that soul, you know, is bleak and highly distorted. And your soul has been trained in that period to think in a particular way, to, you know, to make judgments in a particular way. And after recreation, your soul needs to take another journey back into transformation. Now, when you were born and when you got born again, there was a process. Your soul was getting used to things, right? Now, at the point of recreation, your soul needs to what? Take, it's a form of repentance, all right? Your soul now needs to take another journey back into transformation so that it's able to what? Shine the light of God that is in you, and it's able to shine it out to the world. We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. It's not just by mouth. You need to establish it. You need to experience the physical realities of these things. You know, I'm of the opinion that if you get spiritual insights from God, you should be able to translate it into strategic applications in life. You don't want to get spiritual insights and you're getting revelations and everything is just in your book. Nothing is coming out. And then everybody knows you as a Christian, but your life is not just matching up to how it should be. Again, a sinner needs what? Salvation. A sinner needs what? But a saint needs what? Transformation. And this is what God is coming after. God is coming after your heart. You know that scripture that says that, "Search my heart, O God. See if there be anything, any wickedness, and lead me to a place that is higher than I. Search my heart." You know, turn your torchlight upon the crevices of my heart, the dark places, the things that I did not know even existed in my heart. All right? So that the agape, the love of God, can shine through. And this is why, you know, we need to, that prayer is so strong, because I told you, there are some times that what enters into your mind is not really about what you put in it. Sometimes the things just find themselves into it, right? And because your soul is underdeveloped and is not transformed, it does not know how to reject it. And these things will just, you know, go and then just sit in your subconscious mind. Weights like traumas that you have to go through. You know, you grew up seeing your father beating your mother, and then you have that mentality that a woman cannot have it all. She would sometimes just suffer in marriage. It's part of it. Or you have that mentality that men are good. You know, it's better to cry in an estate than to be laughing in a "face me, I face you." So you would rather stick with wealth, and the person is emotionally bringing you down, but you know your mindset has been built in a way that you feel like that is the right thing. All right. There is also what we call childhood neglect. You never had love when you were growing up. So when someone shows you a certain kind of love, which in itself can sometimes be pure, you don't know how to accept it, right? You don't know how to take it, because you are used to to be neglected. Yeah, it happens. And you can see that it doesn't have to do with sin. It is a weight. Because one of the things that the devil is using in this end time is, there's a word now that I'm trying to remember. Making you feel like as if you're a bastard, that you don't have God, that you don't have a father. And it's one thing that the devil is going about putting in the minds of people, making you feel like God is not for you, making you feel like because, you know, your earthly father abandoned you, so it's difficult for you to accept the fatherhood of God. It's a weight and needs to be dropped. Are you getting me? It's a weight and needs to be dropped. Childhood neglect. And I feel like it's something that a lot of us experienced when we were young. All right. Now, thank God that parents that are, you know, coming up now, they are beginning to understand that they need to be present for their children. Back then, most of our parents, most of our parents were not really present for us. And, you know, sometimes they would say that it was not their fault because they had to go work for us and, you know, pay our school fees and things like that. But those things has built our mind in such a way that we feel like life in itself, you have to struggle for yourself. Nobody owes you anything. And really, nobody owes you anything. But it has a way of building your mind to make you feel like, you know, you can't take love. All right? And then we have the issue of absentee parents. It's a trauma. It's a weight. You know, inability to accept care from people. We also have resentment. You just see people and you don't like them for no reason. And you're not able to say that this is the reason why I don't like them. And it's because maybe you grew up in such an hostile environment that mommy is always suspicious of everything. You know, a cockroach is going somewhere, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Rats is moving here, every devil, you know, mommy is just always suspicious. And then you grew up with that mentality and you resent any small person that comes to you like this, anybody that comes to you, the way she's light-skinned, it looks like she's all this familiar spirit, or the way she's doing is, do you get what I'm saying? You're not able to even connect with people because you are always suspicious. Village people all the time. Village people all the time. Even when it has to do with things that you just needed to switch your, you know, the way you act, but it's village people. And you know, there is something, even unforgiveness in itself is a weight. Unforgiveness is a weight. And I'm sure a lot of us have battled, everybody here has battled with unforgiveness at one point in time in our lives. And some of us are still battling with it. You know, where you're just like, no, I can't let go. I can't. I mean, this person caused me pain. And you know, sometimes it's a pain that you have to live with for the rest of your life. And then you have to battle with it. You know, different traumas and weights. There's something called angry rehearsals. You know, when your soul has become so habituated with resentment that it now begins to practice a form of reaction, even when the reaction has not happened. Has it happened to you before? You are just sitting on your own, or nothing happened, and someone comes to you, it has not even happened. Calm down. It's angry rehearsals. You have practiced it in your mind that if anything comes to me this way, this is the way I will react. We also have, you know, imaginary flashbacks. You just sit and you're thinking, and fresh emotions of something that happened 20 years ago just comes and, you know, overwhelms you again. And then you feel the pain afresh, like it is just happening. It's a weight. And it needs to be pulled down. All right? And it's important to know that when you get born again, you immediately don't become a spiritual man. So there are three levels, all right, to being from, you know, going from being born again, from being born to being born again. So there are three levels. We have what we call the natural man. Now, the natural man in itself is that man that has not received Christ. No space for Jesus. Carnality is seated. That one is steeped in the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Jesus is not even anywhere to be found in such type of man. All right? And then we have another one that is the natural man now receives the life of Christ, now becomes a carnal man. All right? Now that carnal man has Jesus. But Jesus has not yet taken that center of priority in his life. So, you know, Jesus is just, you know, Jesus has a seat down there. It's not like he does not have Jesus, but you know that if he reach, you know, if he gets to that level, you drop Bible and you face a person face to face. That type of person, carnality, that person is steeped in carnality. All right? And that person has not exalted Jesus. And then we have the spiritual man, the one that has exalted Jesus at the center of his heart, in that if he comes in contact with situations and circumstances, he knows that I drop my principles and I exalt Christ above. Now, you don't immediately be, now, do you understand why I tell you now that when you become born again, you don't immediately become a spiritual man, yeah? There is a process you go through. And a carnal man does not have the sinful nature. You know that already. Because now, at that point, it already has a recreated spirit, right? So it does not have the sinful nature. But it's still grappling with sin. Because why? The soul has not yet been transformed. All right? And it's important to know that transformation itself is really not a destination. It's a journey. It's a journey, and you keep taking it, you keep taking it, you keep taking it, you keep till Christ come. It's a journey. For every level you get to, there is another level. And that is why as humans, we must not play too. You must not get to a point in life, in your spirituality, in your academics, in your life generally, and you just play too that this is the best that there is. No. There is always a level. There is always more. There is always more. You know, I wrote here that there are weights and sins that can entangle you. And even many times we walk actively in victory over these things. God is awakening us to the recognition that there are spaces in you that require you to turn the light on. There are spaces in your mind that you need to turn the lights on, the light of God's word on. There are spaces in your mind that you need to put the touchlight of God so that all those rats, those things that don't allow you to fully step into fulfillment of destiny, into experiencing love like God wants it, needs to come out. All right? Now, God is calling you to lay off weights. God is calling you to pull it down, all right? And there is growth on your journey. Now, let's talk more about the soul. I wrote some things here about the soul, and I would like to emphasize it more. You know, the soul is being described as a person's electromagnetic life force. Now, your soul is what gives you your distinctive personality. Your identity, all right? So the way you act, the way you behave, why you act the way you act is because of your soul, all right? It's the way you think, yes. The way you think, the way you judge matters, it's as a result of the state of your soul, all right? The state of your soul, especially when it's yielded to the Holy Spirit, ultimately produces your reasoning. And that is why if you stay long enough under the influence of the Holy Spirit, your personality will change. Yes. And that is why you will see a lot of people, or even someone, your friend, who you resumed 100 level together, and you know that that person is very hot-tempered, does not calm down. And all of a sudden,
year two, year three, the person has been, you know, constantly, you know, following the scriptures, doing the things, you know, going through a mindset renewal. And then you just see that the person is cool, you know, begins to act in, you know, in nice ways. It is what the person subjected his soul under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And there was a personality change. Did you get that? Now, it is also a force that shines through from you. Your soul is what makes you, you know, give off that vibes. And that's why a lot of times when we see people, we'll be like, there's just something about this person. The person didn't have to talk, right? But you're just, you know, perceiving that this person is bad vibes. Like, I don't like the vibes that this person is giving me. And there are some people that when you see them, your heart will literally palpitate because the aura that they carry, the charisma that they carry, you're like, who is this person? The person really does not have to talk. It's a case of if Baba Adeboye walks into this place, does he have to talk before you know that there is something so pure, so genuine about the soul of that man? It doesn't. All right. So that is what your soul does for you. It helps you. It shines from inside you. So people are able to know that this is how this person is. This is how this person is. It's also the seat of your intelligence, your conscience, and your reasoning. Your soul is where all your experiences are gathered in. All the traumas are gathered in. All the weights are gathered in. All the good things, the bad things, the up and the downs are gathered in. And God is calling us to Elim to lift off the weights of our soul. Emotional unavailability. Lack of vulnerability. Some people they don't know how to be vulnerable. And that's why they always have challenges in relationships. Because, you know, the guy is saying, I love you. But the lady is saying, that is how all men are. Do you get what I'm saying? And the person is saying, I genuinely love you with the love of Christ. But the girl is saying, it's a lie. Boy A did that. Boy B did that. Boy C did that. And our mindset is already used to it that men are like that. There is no good man anywhere. And you'll be shocked that that type of lady that says that there is no good man anywhere will end up with a bad man. Yes, because our mind is, it's a force. It's an electromagnetic force. And it's going to attract that which is in your mind to you. And that is why I've always had that mentality. I used to have friends that would tell me, there's this particular lady, she would always tell me that, Anna, all men cheat. All men, they cheat. It's just that God should just give you your own. And you should be cheating outside, but you should not bring it inside. Ha. I said, no, all men don't cheat. I said, my own will not cheat. The capacity to cheat has been broken in him. It cannot function in that cheating line. And do you know that I realized that the relationship I was in, even before I met my husband, he was even a pastor. He was on the way to being a pastor. So that capacity to cheat was not in him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that is my mindset. The one I will be with, you cannot even be attracted to me in the first place if you are a cheat. It's not possible. You will see me and you will like me and you're a cheat. It's not possible. That was just the mindset that I had. And that is not because I didn't see men around cheat. I know I was telling you last week that I really didn't have examples, you know, of good relationships around me, right? But I made a pact that all men cheat though, but my own will not cheat. All right? And in second service, we're going to go into the journey of soul healing. How to actually heal from traumas of the past. God is calling us, you know, there are multiple layers of wounds in our hearts. And just like the way you're opening the onion, all right, God is saying, let's peel peel off this one. Let's take this one out. Let's take this one out. And just like that glass in that lantern, God is saying, let's clean it off. I know it will take time. I know it will be painful. I know you remembering your past, the traumas, how that your dad was not great to your mother, how that this person cheated on you, how that you had to go through this pain. All right? I know it will be difficult, but let's clean it out. Let's clean it out, if you would allow me to clean it out. For someone here, you would remember things. You would literally have flashbacks into the past. And God is telling you, allow it. It's me doing my work of cleansing in you. Don't think that those parts are coming to you and, you know, it's giving you bad experiences and bad emotions. It is for you to see it, so that you're able to know where to take the step from. And as we take on the journey of soul healing, you will step into situations that you previously experienced, but now your reactions are different. Well, because your journey has been on a healing. All right? And the spaces that we would never get to, we would see how we would allow the light of God go into it, all right? How the light of God will shine into it and bring it out. Because the truth is, if you don't fix the state of your soul, you'll just be there, falling under the anointing, but you're not making physical relevance. If you don't fix your soul, there are some things you will not handle. It's not a curse. There are some things you will not handle if you don't fix your soul. And the devil, you know, is trying to be wise. Is trying to be wise. Is trying to make you feel like it does not matter. It matters. Your mind is the most important tool of transformation. If your mind is bleak, no matter how much spiritual revelation you get, it will cap it. It will put a lid on it. And God wants you to experience soul prosperity. You know, in 3 John 1, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospered. Even God places premium on your soul prospering. Not only your spirit, but your soul prospering. Because God knows that, yes, your spirit is something. Your spirit is recreated, but you need your soul to function in this world. You need your soul to function well in this world, because it's acting as a transference, right? It's acting as a transference between the spirit and the body. And even if the light is shining so bright, it doesn't make any sense if the glass in itself is not clear. All right? And we need to heal. I know this message, all right, this is going to cause a lot of rethinking for a lot of people, but we need to heal. You know, we need to heal from emotional abandonment. Emotional unavailability. You know, I find that very, very apparent amongst a lot of people, especially firstborns. We know how to care for people, but we become very uncomfortable if people care for us. It's not a good thing. It's a weight. Where you are not able to accept people's care, people's love, because you feel like it makes you uncomfortable. And then you begin to feel like, I think he wants something, though. I think she wants something, though. All right? Domestic violence from home. And you know, that is even, you know, very common with us in this age and time. All right? Detachment. You don't know how to stay close to someone. That's why you have multiple best friends, like 30 best friends in 1 year. Because you don't know how to stay attached to a friend. You don't know how to commit to a friend. After a while, you just fight and move away. Oppressive behavior. Always wanting to oppress people. Those are weights that easily besets. And that is what God is calling us into. to pull it down. Criticisms, withdrawals, you know, I wrote it here, unstable commitments. You make promises and you're not able to fulfill it. It's not just a mindset, it's a weight. Ideally, we should live, you know, we should live as Christ lived, ideally. And anything that is not making you live the way Christ lived is a weight that needs to be pulled down. All right? And God wants you to live free. You know, Galatians 5:1 says that. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you what? Stay free. God wants you to be free. Hallelujah. Please put your hands upon your heart, upon your chest, upon your mind, upon whatever it is, and begin to tell God, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't want to be held back again. I don't want to be held back again. Strongholds of the mind, the things that exalt itself above the knowledge of Christ in my heart, I pull it down. Weights, traumas that have held me bound, that I am not able to fully express the light, the love, the light of God in me, I pull it down. I pull it now in the name of Jesus. I pull it down. Lord, open my eyes to see that which you want me to see. The mistakes, the corrections you want me to make. Open my eyes to see it. That I be, oh, that I see it. That I see it. That I see it. If it takes you for me to go to have dreams, for you to remind me of my past, the things that I have had to go through that are holding me back from experiencing the true joyful life of Christ, I pull it down in the name of Jesus. I pull it down. Declare that your eyes are open to see. Your eyes are open to see. Your ears are open to hear. There is a mindset re-engineering. Declare that, God, I see, I hear, and I understand. I perceive correctly, and I am willing to make the change that I should make. I am willing to go on this soul journey. I am willing to go on this healing journey. I am willing to be free from the shackles of the minds that have held me bound. I am willing to be free, oh God. I am willing to be free. I am willing to be free. In Jesus' name we're praying. So please, if you can wait for second service, try to wait. We'll be talking on how to go and the steps into soul healing. And I believe that at the end of today, we're able to hold on to something that we know that, yes, I am free indeed. God has set me free, and I am free indeed. Hallelujah.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.